Well, we've been promising on Bush Telly for more than a week now to bring you the results of Australia's favourite bird. It was a poll that was meant to be running as part of Bird Week, but it went for a little more than a week, and it's been quite a success. Now, Sean Dooley's the editor of Australian Bird Life magazine, part of the group that's been running the poll, and he's here to make, I think it's the official announcement, isn't it, Sean?
It is. Bush Telly exclusive here, Cameron.
of all the exclusives, yeah. This is a memorable one. So before we reveal all, the background to the poll first, how did this come about?
Yes, every year BirdLife Australia runs a Bird Week in October. And this year we decided for the first time to run a vote for Australia's favourite bird. And the theme of this year's Bird Week was Meet Your Neighbours, which is the idea of, you know, often when we talk about birds, and even when I come on the show, we're talking about some rare bird that only occurs in a remote national park sort of thing that hardly anyone ever gets to see.
Or a tip near Broome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an example you gave us.
Yeah, or on a sewerage farm or something. Yeah. But really, like, the birds that most Australians see are the common birds, and they are kind of remarkable, and they're really important in our lives, not, you know, economically in terms of the amount of pests they eat in farmlands and gardens and things like that, but also kind of culturally and even spiritually for Australians. Like, the birds that we have around us every day create the soundtrack to our lives and create some really strong memories, and often are the only way we can really connect with nature. So the vote this year was to vote for Australia's favourite bird, the bird that you're more likely to see in the backyard, down the local park, down the beach, that sort of thing. So we came up with a list of 52 birds, narrowed it down, one for each week of the year, I guess. And that was a difficult task because there's been over 800 seen in Australia. And there was, I tell you, Cameron, there was a lot of controversy amongst birdwatchers.
I heard some here. People were ringing me saying, why isn't the wedge-tailed eagle on this list?
Yeah, and we had people ropeable that the lyrebird didn't turn up. And,
I heard the same as well. Yeah, you really aggravated some people.
Oh, we did, touched a few raw nerves there. But the idea was, it was meet your neighbours, and unfortunately not many of us have the chance to meet a lyrebird every day or even a wedge-tailed eagle, even though they're not exactly rare and they are quite obvious. So the birds we chose were on the basis of the, we went through state by state and major city by major city, the 20 most commonly recorded birds in BirdLife Australia's atlas. And that left us with a list of about 92 birds. So we had to narrow it down from there. And so we came up with this list of 52, and people got voting either online or through our Bird Week activities, which was in the middle of October. And so that's why the results have been delayed.
the postal votes.
The postal votes have taken a while to come in, and our scrutineers have been on it. We didn't want another Western Australia Senate-type debacle. So.
So you haven't lost any votes?
We thought we'd lost about 100 from Sydney, but they've just turned up the final ones. So we now have the final top 10, and we're hoping there'll be no High Court challenges to these.
All right, let's just keep people waiting for the winner a moment longer. You've explained how you came up with the birds, but were you just being provocative, trying to annoy people when you put things like the noisy miner on the list?
Yeah, well, there were a few birds on the list that we thought if we ran a top 10 least favourite birds, they also might make a mention.
Number one for me, masked lapwing.
Yeah, masked lapwing and magpies will swoop people during nesting season. Mm. But we thought, and the noisy miner, it's not the Indian miner, which would definitely top the list of most hated Australian birds, but the Indian miner is an introduced species, and the noisy miner is actually a native honey eater, but it is not particularly well liked by a lot of people because they're quite aggressive and they drive out all the smaller birds. But we thought, well, this is a bird that is in our cities, in our suburbs, in our country towns, and they're very common in eastern Australia, and people would know them. And surprisingly, noisy miner wasn't the least popular bird. There was it came in about I think it was about fifth or sixth least popular, so there were others that people didn't vote for nearly as much as noisy miner. It did get quite a few dozen votes for it.
So
somebody out there loves those birds.
Well, should we start at the bottom of the pile? I'm chatting with Sean Dooley, editor of Australian BirdLife magazine, and we're revealing on Bush Telly our exclusive, the vote that's been running through the month of October, but it's just taken a few days to do the final count. The vote for Australia's favourite bird, there's 52 birds that are listed, and they're all in order. Who's propping up the pile? Who's at the bottom, Sean?
At the very bottom?
Yeah.
Was a poor old bird called the bar-shouldered dove. That came in at number 52, but it did get double figures. In the last week, it dragged itself across the line. So it had, I think it was 11 votes for it. They're not the most stunning-looking bird.
I'm just looking for it now. As I flick through. Oh, I see it there. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people in northern Australia, it's a very common bird in gardens right across the top end and North Queensland, right down to Brisbane, really. They'd know it as the Bob Hawke bird because its call supposedly sounds like it's saying Bob Hawke, Bob Hawke. And so we threw that one in there, thought, well, we'll see how it goes. And unfortunately, poor old bar-shouldered dove, it's bottom of the list. It was our wooden spooner.
Even below the noisy miner. Incredible. All right. Now, I know your favourite is it's the little wattle bird. Am I right there?
That's right, yes.
Yeah? Shall we hear one of them so we can just get a sense of your favourite? So that's a little wattle bird. What's so good about them?
Well, I love that call. And in the area where I grew up in Bayside, Melbourne, the variation on that call sounded like the opening bars to that 60s song Swingin' Safari.
And is that what got you?
That was one of the things that got me. But also, it's not the prettiest bird on the list. In fact, it's probably the plainest and possibly the ugliest. But they've got a lot of character. And they, as I said, and this is what got me thinking about meeting your neighbours in terms of the birds we share our lives with, was the little wattle bird was one of those birds that really got me into bird watching. When I was just starting getting interested, I was walking to school when I was about 11, and there was a pair of little wattle birds who built a nest in a yard on the walk to school. And so every day, twice a day, I got to see the whole process, that whole cycle of life from the nest building to the laying of the eggs. It was just at head height too for an 11-year-old, so it was great. And then I saw the chicks hatch and then the parents feeding those voracious youngsters that were just squawking all day wanting food. And it was really captivating, and it just fueled my imagination, because growing up in suburban Melbourne, I had worked out by that stage I was never going to see a tiger in Frankston. I was never, unlikely to see a giraffe. I dug up the driveway and found there were no dinosaur bones to be had. But here was nature
in the raw,
and it was just captivating and exciting, and I've always had a soft spot for them since.
So it's been that personal experience. I guess it reveals a lot about the person as well. Are you intrigued by the call or the aesthetic or these encounters you may have had?
Definitely. And I think that's why we chose common birds this year, because they're the ones that you're more likely to have a personal experience relationship with. I know that if my father was still alive, he would have picked pelican, because when he was dying, he had lung cancer and he couldn't get about very well. And he lived on a canal estate, and there were pelicans would come past, and he tamed the local pelican, and he would throw it scraps of meat, either fish or bits of bacon, which he probably shouldn't have done. But in those last few weeks of his life, it was one of the things he could get himself outside the door, and the pelican would come up, Mr. Percival-like, and would feed from his hand. And that was a really special bird to him. And I know we had several celebrity campaigners for the bird vote this year, and one of them, Dave Hughes, who people would know from radio in Melbourne and from The Project on Channel 10 and other comedy shows, he chose the pelican because he always liked them, and his wife had bought him a colour photograph print of a pelican that he said he stuck up on the toilet and he would look at it every day when he was having a wee. But he said on the back she had written about, I know how much you love pelicans, this is how much I love you. And he said it every day, seeing a pelican reminded him about how much he loved his family. And it's those sorts of things that, you know, that birds can represent. Just on our doorstep, we've got some of the most wonderful nature on the planet.
The way you're talking about birds there, it's often how people talk about music, you know, that a certain song takes you back to a time in your life and the emotions you had or a memory. It's exactly what you're talking about there, isn't it? A place and a time that is associated or a memory that's sparked by a bird.
Oh, definitely. And I think that came through in the votes. I know for the magpie, which voted very well, like... a lot of people spoke about hearing that sound of a magpie just took them back to their country childhood or visiting the relatives. And luckily, they're birds that are quite common in our cities as well.
Now, there was a chance the magpie was going to win at one point. I know it was leading early on in the vote. How did it go?
Well, yes, it was neck and neck with the superb fairy wren. And then in the last week, the fairy wren just showed a clean pair of heels and pulled away from the magpie. And
That was it. You just revealed the winner.
I did. sorry. So much for building up the tension there.
So the superb fairy wren overtook the magpie just in the last week. Shall we hear a superb fairy wren? Got nothing on the song of a magpie.
I know. It is quite a cheery little trill, but it actually surprised us in some ways that you know, the superb fairy wren, it's not your iconic Australian bird necessarily. It's not a magpie or a galah or anything like that, but what really goes to show that people really love these birds, and they're a bird that if you plant the right sort of plants in your garden, if you have the right vegetation mix, they can survive even in the inner suburbs, and people obviously have them in their gardens, and they're really beautiful birds.
Is a superb fairy wren the same as a blue wren?
There's several blue wrens around the country, and interestingly there's probably an even more stunning fairy wren in Perth and WA, the southwest of WA, the splendid fairy wren. The subspecies over there is just the most glorious blue colour, and it outshines even the superb fairy wren. But we didn't have splendid fairy wren on the vote, but we did get quite a lot of votes for superb fairy wren from people from WA. So I think they were identifying with their own wren there.
So this vote revealed how states think as well. Did it show some birds that were very popular in particular places in Australia versus others?
Yes, it did. It did, actually. It was really interesting. And usually it was the local birds that polled
makes sense.
But as I said, there was a lot of a big spread across. For instance, in WA, the leading bird was the Carnaby's black cockatoo. But Carnaby's also got quite a lot of votes from people on the East Coast. So obviously they really just looked at that and thought, well, that's my favourite bird. It's a big, black, bold cockatoo. And perhaps it reminded them of the yellow-tailed black cockatoo you get over east. But
Which are magnificent birds as well, aren't they?
Yeah. And Carnaby's are sort of like the West Coast version of that, and probably even more magnificent because to see them in against the Perth skyline is just an amazing sight to behold.
All right, so we've got superb fairy wren, Australia's favourite bird, magpie number two. Any other standouts in the vote or surprising results?
Well, the really surprising result was number three, which was the hooded plover. Now, a lot of people, what surprised me is that a lot of people, when they hear the word plover, they think of the spurwing plover or the mast lapwing.
Yeah, the one I don't like.
The one that you don't like, that will swoop you when it's got chicks and eggs.
Mm. Which is why I don't like it. I came under a sustained attack on a golf course.
It can be
one
quite
day,
frightening.
Yeah, definitely.
But we had the mast lapwing in the vote, and it wasn't near the bottom, so that was interesting.
Should have been, yeah.
But the hooded plover is actually a lovely little bird that I was surprised it rated so highly because it's only found on the southern coast, on the ocean beaches, from about sort of around Eden or Naruma area south. It's not very common in New South Wales at all, right through Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia and in the west. And I was surprised because I thought people may not really know the bird. It nests only on ocean beaches and comes into conflict with beach users, well, more beach users come into conflict with it. Sharing the beach, the hooded plover is usually not the winner.
Yeah,
it's either its eggs are trampled on, or dogs get it, or dogs off leashes will scare the birds off, and they'll try and fly away from the nest, leaving the chicks and eggs vulnerable to predation by silver gulls, or even just for being baked in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, clearly, a lot of people have fallen in love with these little guys, and people voted for hooded plover, which was, it was a clear third.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was still a long ways behind magpie and superb fairy.
It was superb fairy wren, magpie, daylight, the rest.
Yeah. Then hooded plover, then more daylight to the fourth bird. And the kookaburra came in at number five.
I was going to say it must have made the top five because everyone is familiar with this.
It did.
That's the bush sound to a lot of Australians, isn't it?
Quintessentially Australian, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and I know we did a story recently speculating that the kookaburra might actually win. So, top five? But
top
not the
five,
winner.
Yes, no, not the winner.
Mm. All right. So, what happens now? Is it going to be an annual thing, or is this does the superb fairy wren hold this title for quite some time now?
Undefeated champion. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're planning on doing it again. Hopefully next year. We might throw the candidates wide open and include some of the more iconic birds like emu and lyrebird and a few of the more colourful parrots and things and see how we go. But it's
emu. That was a controversial move, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But again, there's very few people in Australia lucky to have emus as their neighbours. So.
Yeah, so there you go. That counted it out this time round. Well, the website's still up at the moment. You can't vote now, but people can still see all the birds and read a little bit about them. And I've really enjoyed going through that, actually, and trying to come up with mine. I still can't decide my favourite, only my least favourite. But, Sean, always great to have you on the program, and thank you so much for revealing this year's vote on the program.
It's been a pleasure, and thanks for your support, Cameron.
Sean Dooley, who, as I said, always fun to have on the program.